Well, yes, it is Olympic time, and we're going to close out the Olympics here. And I just love the stories about previous Olympics and people winning these victorious battles over their enemies, over their foes, and sometimes over amazing odds. And you know these stories. You know these stories because we tell them from year after year after year after year. The story about Jesse Owens going to Germany and competing in the Olympic ceremony there under Hitler. And what an amazing thing that was. Or maybe at Lake Placid, when the United States, this ragtag team of hockey players that didn't know anything about, well, they shouldn't say they didn't know about hockey. They knew a lot about hockey, but they had never really competed at this level before. And in the exhibition game, Russia beat them like 10-0. And they came back at the Olympics, and the Americans won that game against Russia. It was one of the most amazing victories. It was called the Miracle on Ice. Or maybe Carrie Strug, I don't know if you remember her, but she was at the Olympics in Atlanta, and her team was doing really well. They were competing against the gold, and it came down to one event, and Carrie Strug needed to get on the vault. She needed to do a certain level, and she ran it the first time, and she came off the vault, and she fell down, and she sprained her leg. Do you remember this? But she was so determined that she went back and she did it again. She did a perfect vault. She landed on one leg because she had a sprain on the other leg. And immediately after she finished the routine, she fell down in agony and pain, but yet she got like a 9.83, which was enough to carry the American team so that they won the gold that year. Or you all remember Nadia Comaneci? I don't know if I all remember. I remember Nadia Comaneci in 1976, where she comes out and she gets a perfect 10 on the uneven bars. Had never been done before. As a matter of fact, the scoreboard didn't even go that high, so it showed up as a 1.00 because nobody had ever gotten a perfect 10 on that event before. She got 7 perfect 10s that year. She was only 15 years old. And after 1976, they changed the rules so you couldn't compete until you were at least 16. So Nadia Comaneci will remain the champion of all champions for 15-year-olds for the rest of the Olympics unless they change the rules again. I love these stories. But there's another story about Olympics that I want to share with you this morning because it's about a guy that you may have heard of before, maybe not, but he was a runner. He was called the Flying Scotsman, and his name was Eric Little. And he went to Paris, France in 1924 to compete in the Olympics in Paris, France. And as he went over, he was from Great Britain, as he came over to compete and they posted the schedules, it turned out that the race that he was all set to run and win was the 100 meter, but that race was going to be run on a Sunday morning. And Eric Little, being a devout Christian, did not want to run on Sunday morning, so he bowed out of the race, and because he did so, he was disqualified. As a matter of fact, there were several other races that he bowed out of because they were run on Sunday morning. But there was one race that wasn't going to be on a Sunday morning, but it wasn't necessarily his best event. It was called the 400 meter. And he got out there and he ran the 400 meter, and if you look, they actually have videos on the internet where you can watch Eric Little winning the 400 meter and getting the gold that year in 1924. Now, the reason why this is so absolutely amazing and why it pulls at our heartstrings is because previously he was running the 400 meter, and it shows this in the movie. You probably all have seen the movie, Chariots of Fire. He was running this race, the 400 meter, and it was a competition. It was an exhibition race with some of his other classmates, some of his other champions, and they were running this race, and this the start of the race, they go out, and they actually, and this is a true story, he fell, and he got up again, and he ran, and he won the race, even though he had fallen. Now, I mean, just think about how much speed and power you have to take other Olympic people who are running against you. You fall and stumble, and yet you get up again, and you run as fast as you can, and you win the race. Just think about what that would take. And when he won that race, he fell down, he collapsed, he was nearly just dead from having run that race because he ran so hard. But it was that event that propelled him then so he could win the 400 meter in the Olympics, which he did, which he won. Think about what kind of determination it takes in this world when you've fallen down to get back up again. And think about what an amazing thing is when you do that. But think about how difficult it is sometimes for some of us when we do fall down, how difficult it is for us to get up again and complete the race. Because that can be a very difficult thing. Sometimes our falls and our failures can be so severe in our life that they paralyze us and we don't want to get up again. As a matter of fact, we don't want to do anything again. We just want to sit there as paralyzed human beings, wallowing in our sinful human nature until somebody comes along and says, get up and go. You can do this. Now, the reason why I talk about this is because now we're going to look at Joshua 8. And I believe that Joshua and the people of Israel are kind of like that people that are down on the ground. They've just fallen, and they don't want to get up again. Because if you'll remember from last week, we had this army, this contingency, go from Israel to this town of Ai, and they were going to fight the battle of Ai, and they were going to win. But you'll remember that there was this guy named Achan, and he had sinned, and so God pulled his hand back. And so when they went to fight Ai, they were defeated. And they came scurrying back to Israel, and now they've got a problem. Because the problem is, God had told them that everything east of the Jordan River would be theirs. Everything over the Jordan River was their promised land, and yet they've got this town called Ai that they haven't conquered. And I'm sure you've seen pictures of people that have land or property or buildings, and the developer comes in, and the developer comes around the building, and they want to buy out the building, but the people don't want to sell. I'm sure you've seen thousands and thousands of pictures. I looked over the weekend and saw pictures. Believe it or not, the Beijing airport, there's a farm right in the middle of the airport that the airplanes come over and land right over the farm because the farm people didn't want to sell. And there's stories that you see of pictures of buildings in multi-million dollar office complex, and there's this one little tiny shack that's sitting there, and it's not about to leave because it's not going to leave. I remember at a previous congregation, the congregation had a parking lot, and the parking lot wrapped all the way around a house, and the guy wasn't going to sell the house to the church because he just didn't believe in selling his property to the church. And so everything happened. I mean, he was in his backyard, and the people parking on Sunday morning and waving to him and everything in the middle of the parking lot was his property. It was amazing. So you can't have a town like Ai in the middle of the promised land. That would be a little bit difficult. That would not be good. You're taking people a tour of the promised land. It's like, well, there's, you know, there's this and there's this, and oh, and that's the people we couldn't defeat, and they're sitting there. We're letting them. We built a wall around them. No, you can't do that. You've got to defeat them. But they're feeling a little bit discouraged because they went and tried to defeat them, and it didn't work. And now they're sitting there wallowing in their sin, wallowing in their defeat, wallowing in the fact that God pulled out because of the sin of Achan, and that's where we have, in Joshua 8, the situation. Now, how many times in your life have you been defeated and not gotten up? How many times in your life have you done something that you felt so strongly about that when it defeated you, you were completely discouraged and distressed, and you felt like Eric Little down on the ground? You didn't want to get up again. You didn't want to compete again. You just wanted to stay there and wallow in your self-pity. It happens to all of us. And you see, the devil loves it when we are defeated, because the devil will use defeat and join that with our sinful human nature, and he will do things in our life that he loves to do. Because when you are defeated, you're not thinking clearly. You don't think that anybody loves you. When you are defeated, you don't think that God loves you, and the devil loves that. He loves you to wallow in self-pity. I remember there was a time, a number of years ago, I was working at an engineering firm, and there was this bright, incredibly intelligent, fine young engineer, and he was working at our office, and he messed up big, big, big time on a project. It was a huge mistake. And I remember him coming into my office and explaining what he'd done, and he's saying, I don't think I can recover from this. As a matter of fact, I think I should get out of the engineering field. If this is the work that I do, then I don't think I should be living again. Or not living, but living as an engineer again. And I can remember counseling him, trying to tell him, you know, everyone makes mistakes. Everybody does a bad thing. This happens sometimes, but he was just completely focused. He'd never made a mistake like that in his work, you know, in his schooling or anything like that. It was completely devastating for him. You know, when you're a little kid and you're learning how to ride a bike, you get on the bike and you go and you fall down, and what does a little kid do? He gets right back up again. You know, we encourage him. We give him coaching. And he gets on and he tries it again. He falls down. They may do that 20 or 30 times, but eventually they're going to get there. Why is that? Because they've seen other people ride the bike. They know it can be done. They know that if they just try really hard, they can get through it. But it seems like when we get older as adults and defeats happen in our life, sometimes these defeats can be devastating for us. And the devil loves that. He loves devastation in our lives. But you know, there's another thing that can happen from defeat that is probably even more devastating. And that is to be like Eric Little, to get back up again and to win the race. Because then you're looking at yourself and you're saying, look what I did. I won the race. I was defeated and things weren't looking up. But then I got up, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and I put them on, and I ran, and I finished the race, and why aren't you doing that? You know, all you have to do is just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you can win the race too. Why aren't you doing that? You see, the other thing that the devil does, coupled with our human nature, with defeat, when we do get up again and win the race, is he makes us arrogant. He makes us proud. He makes us feel like we're better than everybody else. And the devil loves that. The devil loves it when we have defeats and we get up and we finish the race and then we say, everybody, look at me, how wonderful I am. That's what defeat can do to the human condition because we're all sinful human people. We're all going to be in defeat at some point in our life and we're all going to need encouragement to get up again and to win the race. And that's where Israel is. They've got to fight this community called Ai. They can't have them sitting there in the middle of the promised land. It doesn't work. And God knows this. Joshua knows this. The people of Israel know this. But we're going to find the courage to get up and go and fight the race, fight the fight that God wants them to fight and fight the fight that God wants them to win. Well, that answer happens in Joshua 1, verse 8. Because in Joshua 1, verse 8, the Lord comes to Joshua and he says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered them into your hands, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. The Lord, the creator of the universe, comes to Joshua and says, just do it again. I'm with you. I will help you defeat Ai. And so they do. You read the story. They put up an ambush. I can't believe that they would ambush. I mean, it seems like such a devious thing to do, but that's what they do. And they put up this army of men outside of Ai, and then they bring in this little tiny squadron, like last week, you know, it's like they want us, the mighty French army, we will win to you. And so they go, and the king of Ai sees this little tiny army, and sure enough, he goes out and chases them, and as soon as they're out of the city, then the whole entire Israel army comes out, and they go, and they capture the city, and they win the battle, and God was on their side, and everything's happy. You see, God's on your side too. And God is your greatest cheerleader. God created you. And he knows what he wants you to do, and he doesn't want you to be in defeat. He wants you to be victorious, and he is the cheerleader that comes to you and says, go, I will be with you. And not only that, the whole heavenly host, the God of Sabbath, his whole entire army is with you too, helping you to fight these battles. He is there with you, but he doesn't want you to just win them so that you can give the glory and honor to yourself. He wants you to become a humble, compassionate person who understands that the glory is not yours. The glory is from God himself. That every battle that you fight, every defeat that you have in this world, when you get up again, it's not you, but it's God working through you. And it's not your victory, it's God's working through you victory. And when you realize that, when you realize that God is in your life, when you realize that the victories that you have aren't your victories, but they're his victories, it completely changes what happens with defeat. And the devil doesn't like this. Because when that happens in your life, when you see that God is active in your life and he's helping you with all the battles of life, and you give him the glory, you become a humble, compassionate person, understanding that there's things in life that happen, but you can get up again, and by God's grace, you will win them. The ultimate defeat in this world when Satan thought that he had God was when he killed Jesus. And he said, I'm going to kill that guy, and I'm going to put him in the grave, and it's all going to be done with. But see, God is the king of defeat. And from that, Jesus rose again and bought and purchased each and every single one of us so that we don't ever have to experience that kind of defeat again. We've been redeemed by God. We are His chosen people. And in every other religion, you defeat, you know, you have a defeat, they want to throw you out. But in Christianity, defeat is never defeat. Because in Christianity, there's no such thing as defeat. There's only victory and things that God is using to mold and shape and create the person that He wants you to be so that you can be victorious for Him. And that's the type of person that Eric Little was. Yes, he won the gold, and yes, he won the 400 meter, and yes, it was a great story. But if you've seen that movie, Chariots of Fire, it's more than that. He was a devout Christian man. And after he won the 400 meter race, he went back to China. He was born in China. His parents were missionaries in China. And he became a missionary. And he became a very, very successful missionary. He taught sports and worked with kids and helped to deliver medicines and helped communities and villages. And he was very highly esteemed where he was. And then the war was breaking out. We were leading up to the Second World War, and they took all the people that were not native Chinese and they put them in these internment camps. And so Eric Little went into one of these internment camps. And it was there that he died about a year before World War II was victorious for the Allied forces. And in the Beijing Olympics that happened 4 years ago, I don't know if you caught this, but they actually released some information about Eric Little that was not known before. Apparently, when he was in the concentration camp, they gave him an opportunity to leave and to go back to England because he was such a great athlete, and because he was so highly esteemed, they gave him that opportunity. But instead, he gave his seat to another woman who was pregnant who needed to get back to England. He was willing to sacrifice his life for her. But see, that's the type of guy he was. He had won the gold medal. He had been an Olympic athlete. He was a phenomenal man, and yet he was humble. And he knew that his victories didn't come from himself. He knew that the victory came from God and that the greater victory is letting God work in his life and to be the person that God wanted him to be. And God's working in each and every one of your lives. You have been victorious because Jesus has bought and purchased you. You are all Olympic winners in this world because Jesus Christ has come into your life. Never take defeat as a defeat. Take a defeat as an opportunity for God to do amazing things in your life. In Jesus' name.